The Dot Connectors, brought to you by Omnia Global. Welcome back, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to another episode. This one is hugely insightful. It's the type of episode that you send on to your friends and family because there's something in it for everybody to take away and look at their behavior, their mindset. It's all about clean energy. And if you're alive today, you can't escape the topic of climate change, sustainability, incremental changes, but also the huge gap between the more advantaged economies who are completely plugged in from an energy standpoint through to those in the world who aren't even on the energy grid and producing their own energy and actually at sometimes a fatal outcome to them. How can we have such a big gap in today's modern world? Well, the individual that I had the absolute pleasure of interviewing this week, Wolfgang Krohn, CEO of Ventum Dynamics, is trying to bridge this gap. And his brand promise is ambitious, but it's simple. And that is clean and renewable energy for everyone, anywhere in the world. We also had the pleasure of inviting our CEO, Daniel Hansen, to join us to then talk about the energy sector from an investor standpoint. What are investors looking for from companies that are looking to bridge that gap, find these solutions so that actually we are at an individual level more aware and more focused on all things climate change and energy. So sit back, enjoy, and make sure you tune in next time. Wolfgang, welcome to our podcast. How are you today?
I'm pleased to be here and happy to be invited. Everything is good here in Stavanger. Everything except the weather, of course, which is not so good, but it's what we're used to here on the west coast of Norway. So
standard. I mean, the UK, we're in August and I'm wearing a black jumper and had a coat on earlier. I mean, that's the UK. I'm glad that we've got off to, you're on the same wavelength. We're already talking about the weather. I'm sure you're a Brit deep down. It's just a standard intro. But I must add today, listeners, we've got another person in the conversation today. We've got our very own CEO, Daniel Hansen, joining us. Daniel, how are you today?
I am good as well. Happy to be here, especially with Wolfgang, one of the greater guys. Definitely one of the best guys I've heard about in Norway.
Oh, so in Norway. Cool, okay. I noticed you didn't go for full stop like global. That's fine. He won't take that personally. Well, look, it's great to have both of you on. And, you know, today, listeners, we're going to have a really good chat, not only about Wolfgang and his business, but also about the sector in which he operates in. But let's start off with you, Wolfgang. Tell me a little bit. I've got a kind of a sneak preview. Obviously, we had a bit of a chat, so I'm kind of cheating. But you have got one of the most fascinating backgrounds I think I've ever come across in anybody. It's very varied. But I think actually your background's played a really important part in getting you to where you are right now. Tell our listeners a little bit more about where you've come from through to today.
Well, as you said, the background is kind of varied, but it's all started with economics. And my plan was getting into banking and finance, so I took that education. But when I was finished with my master's in economics, no bank here in Norway actually wanted to hire young and upcoming guys with new education. So I ended up in prison with the keys, of course, and started working as a correctional officer in the Norwegian prison system. And I specialized in anger management and stress management. So it kind of wasn't the direction I started off on, but I had some experience from the military, and that kind of brought me into that business. But it all came down to actually working with people. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've been doing ever since. I got headhunted for the largest commercial bank in Norway. Some years later, and then I got to work with my education as in banking and financing. And did that for many years. And got to learn a lot about the banking and financing systems. And it was quite an interesting period of time. And at a certain point, 13 years ago, I lost both my parents to cancer. And that was kind of a breaking point in my, also my career as well, because I got to think a little bit about putting things into perspective, where we were going and what we were doing. And then I headed off in consultancy and started off as a private entrepreneur. And the rest is a history, as they say. here we are. But it's been an interesting journey. But like the I've been working with people, and that's kind of what I've been doing. And I think that's the got use of my education as well. But working with people is kind of where what I'm doing today as well. Still being CEO of a company, but it's all coming down to actually working with the right people.
It is, and we touched on your parents previously, and sometimes I think seeing the biggest lessons or having the biggest lessons in your life often comes from adversity surrounding people, whether that be new life, people passing away, and it kind of shocks your system, doesn't it? And you go, actually, am I on the right path here, particularly in that corporate world? We'll talk a bit about that later. Your correctional working in a prison in Norway, I was sitting there thinking, blimey, can you imagine being an employee of Ventum Dynamics at appraisal time? Daniel, can you imagine that if you and I worked for Wolfgang and we messed up and you've got Wolfgang doing your appraisal? Oh my god, I'd be frightened.
I would say I would love to be in prison and have Wolfgang take care of me. That would be a pleasure, a lot more stressless than being an entrepreneur.
Oh my god, you're not being an advocate now for an entrepreneur. I'd love, honestly, I mean, Wolfgang sent me a picture of his prison warden or prison officer days, and you actually look quite friendly, but I don't know whether that's more sinister. It's like, hold on, you're a prison officer, but you look friendly. So there's some undertone here that you're not revealing, but no, brilliant background. And I think that people side, again, you're dealing with the anger management, you know, it's all of these components. Everybody thinks, and we've, you know, spoken to other entrepreneurs, that it's all swings and roundabouts and all lovely. But you guys, both of you, would have seen the real raw side to what you do. And actually, if you've been exposed to those hard moments, you know, you're going to build loads of resilience. I've just touched on Ventum Dynamics. Wolfgang, tell me a little bit more about Ventum Dynamics and the kind of a potted history of how the opportunity presented itself, and, you know, where you are today with the business.
Well, Ventum Dynamics started off back in 2016. And it all came out of heating and ventilation kind of business, because my partner in Ventum, Christopher, he's running a heat and ventilation business as well. And they were actually looking how to kind of make industrial building more climate neutral, and how much energy do you really need to heat, like industry building. And that's not so much if you put that into heat and ventilation. And living here on the west coast of Norway, we don't have too much sun all the time, but we have a lot of wind. So it was kind of natural to think to look at the possibilities of actually harvesting some wind energy. And they had a look at the conventional tree blade type of wind turbines that you see everywhere, also offshore and onshore type of wind. But it's hard to place a windmill on top of a building and actually be allowed to do it. So they had to think differently, and then they came out with the 1.0 version of the Ventum turbine, which we have kind of evolved from since. I came into the project a couple of years later. I did some other work for Christopher as well, related to my economics background, and he asked me what I wanted for helping me out, and I said, I know you're into this renewable energy project, but I want in on that one. And he said, okay, if you can bring the money to actually push this forward, then you're in for it. And I got the money. And Excellent. And it's been like a really interesting story for us, because it's kind of escalated really quickly, and it went from 0 to 100 really quick. So what we basically did, we took the turbine that I started off with, which is a patented product today, and we developed it further. So with the help of some friends in my network, we were able to get enough money to push this project really, really further. And that's how I got to know Daniel as well, through his company, Omnia Global. And yeah, we are really on the verge of breaking through, I think, internationally, and bringing this unique product to the people, which was basically what we were starting off as, a way to bring energy production to average people or normal people, not only corporate systems and big business, but as a product for everyone. That's basically where what we wanted to do.
Which segues nicely actually into my next question. I need you to give us a bit of a lesson now. Let's assume I'm an idiot. I'm not, for the benefits of our listeners, but in this context, clean energy, you know, your company goal is really simple. Clean energy for everyone, as you just mentioned. It's not just for the corporate. Yeah. Can you explain that in more detail and just give us a bit of an idea of what's the landscape as it is right now in the context of energy, and where do you want to get us to over the next few years?
Well, if you look at renewable energy for especially into wind energy, then you look at large wind farms and a lot of infrastructure, and you look at high wind type of and large scale type of farms offshore and onshore, and that kind of takes away a little bit what we actually were looking for, more of that disruptive type of energy production, and we saw that as a possibility to actually make energy what we call in Norway short traveled. If you are into production of agriculture and stuff, you're talking about short travel potatoes and other stuff, and we wanted to make short travel energy, so you don't have to have a large infrastructure or send energy to miles of wire, but you actually make the energy where you need energy, and that was kind of the thing behind it, as of a product that you can have deploy wherever you want. So if you need energy at your cabin, or if you need energy at your private home, or if you need energy in the middle of the jungle, then you don't need to build a lot of infrastructure to actually get that done. You put it up like if you compare it to solar panels, which we are kind of in the same business there.
Right, I see. So that's how you are going to make it for everyone. And obviously then from a kind of an ESG standpoint, you know, that's, you know, places that are remote, places that the infrastructure would be deemed near on impossible. But why should there be that kind of difference, you know, across the world, particularly where nations need it?
Yeah, we would actually try to make it available for everyone.
Yeah.
And that's the whole idea behind it. So of course, we are able to make larger systems that could be used for corporate and industrial use. Mm-hmm. But our main kind of thought behind it was actually making energy accessible for everyone, not only for the people living in developed countries and big cities and things like that, but also for people that are not having energy at all today because they are living too far off the grid that is possible. And that's kind of what we hope for our products to be, like a bridge between the developed industrial and developed world, and also between the not so developed areas that need energy as well.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, I mean, it's it boggles the mind, doesn't it, when you look at the inequalities that still exist and these sort of peaks of, you know, very developed worlds that are just, you know, storming ahead, and then the gap between the countries that are just off the grid, and that's what they know. So
there's a lot of people actually dying from smoke poisoning because they are using wood to kind of make their food every day, and still here we are complaining about our internet access.
I know, and we don't know how lucky we are. Yeah.
So there's a lot of things to be done, and I think Ventum Dynamic Group are capable of kind of closing that gap a little bit, if not totally, but I think we have a possibility to actually close the gap somewhat from our side, anyways.
Yeah, absolutely, and that you know, keeping your vision mission very simple. You know what you're about, which is, you know, I think a big thing for companies that are exponentially growing. Keep it simple, but ultimately your vision is it's got that people element, it's got that human element, which is testament to you, and actually you're living true by, you know, what your background, essentially. You know, it's not just let's make lots of money. Daniel, just bringing you in now from an investor / funding perspective, how sort of hot is the energy sector right now, and in particular businesses like Ventum Dynamics that are sort of, you know, that ESG element, you know, giving back, bridging gaps in society. You know, how kind of what's the state of play with the sector, and then businesses that really are going after that sort of ESG angle?
I would say there's no doubt that the whole climate change movement and the focus on green energy and rather large population in the world, etc. There's a huge need for someone being innovative and trying to create independent energy solutions. So once you've delivered, in this case, wind or solar and et cetera, the user can be independent from anyone. You know, if you go with a nuclear or something like that, you still have a super big dependent on a third party corporation or a government or someone to kind of decide what this energy, whatever the cost might be, should cost anyway. So in this regard, you kind of give the energy power to whoever is the client, and they can run with it and they can do their own thing and be independent from anyone else, which I think is massively important as well. You know, energy is one of the largest, you could say, power magnets industries in the world. So if you need to scale something in this regard, you need to have any and all as your segment of client. And if you go with developing countries, you have billions of people that you can technically serve, and your appetite to do that should be in the helping them, not so much how can we optimize our earnings. And luckily the market at the moment seem to be benefiting or at least loving companies that are doing that. So so from an investor perspective, there's a lot of liquidity in the market. There's a lot of cheap liquidity in the market and investor appetite for someone who actually would like to make a difference in the green energy and ESG sector. No doubt about that.
Yeah. And Wolfgang, just to sort of bring you in there, are you seeing sort of new businesses sort of popping up quite frequently that could potentially complement you? Or, you know, are you, because obviously when you're running a business that's got that strong sort of social focus, I guess there's opportunity for you to learn, team up with other businesses. Can you see that there's more and more businesses entering into the sector?
It's obvious. As of last year, over $500 billion were invested into kind of renewable energy sector. So So even here in the kind of oil capital of Norway, which has been like having made Norway what it is today regarding the oil business, we see a lot of change here in the sector as well, and new companies coming up all the time. And of course, Ventum Dynamics Group is not a total solution for everything, but it's complementary kind of product into other renewable energy products as well. So what we are trying to do is kind of looking for partners, of course, in that regard, that we can kind of give a total solution for the clients in the end. So but the appetite, as Daniel says, for this type of investment are almost looking as endless at the moment. People are really kind of, it's getting up there, and especially also today regarding this new climate report that was actually launched today from the UN, which really gives us a heads up. It's kind of code red for the humanity at the moment, and this will also accelerate the change, I think. That's my personal thought about it, but I think it's going to be really, really fast growing and focused on that type of business in the years to come.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we're just so far behind, and you know, when you think about, I was listening to a talk by a lady called Mary Porter, who's a retail guru in the UK, and she's sort of got big agencies now, and she was just saying, you know, tens of years ago, you know, no one spoke about the impact on anything. No one cared. It was just the bottom line. It was all about, you know, growth. And now I think we've got a lot of catching up to do. This isn't just, oh, this, we need to do it. It's like, hold on, we've done some damage. We've got to catch up. And, you know, and obviously then that's also linked to the, you know, the reputation of these corporates as well. You know, what are you doing? And certainly that's what I'm seeing. You know, it's not just exist and deal with that later. I mean, Daniel, coming back to you again, and we picked up on sort of you know, companies that Wolfgang may be looking to partner with to provide that total solution. If there are you know, what are investors looking for? If there's companies out there similar to Ventum Dynamics, not necessarily in the same sort of market, but you know, can provide that, you know, a solution in this energy sector space, and they're wanting to grow to a similar size, you know, what are investors looking for from companies in this sector, do you think?
Well, I think the market kind of dictates some of it, and then the political scene heavily dictates something as well. So if you were just, you could say, if you're super logical about it, you would say, okay, well, the climate change isn't, it's not in like 10 years, everyone is dead from tsunamis and whatnot. Eventually coal fusion and all these types of technology would definitely make the next kind of massive impact on the world. But problem is nobody has the patience to kind of wait for it. So from a political scene and also from the investor scene, especially retail, they want to see some immediate action, and they want to see something that kind of works or brings us to a certain point while we're waiting for these more, you could say, home run technologies that kind of one size fits all, save the planet kind of energy sources. So where I kind of see both the investment market but also the political market is moving towards, we need to do something on a continuous basis that will kind of satisfy everyone's panic attack, you know, and anxiety during nighttime, you know, because, you know, the climate change kind of affects more people because we're a larger population, right? So people more, you know, live more dense, they live more closer to shoreline and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, when catastrophe hits, it just impacts more people. So you need to do something. Mm-hmm. And if you can, so partnering up with Ventum is in wind. So obviously it would be logical to have something that is solar related and some energy storage. Energy storage is one of the key factors that will make the next big leap. And that could be hydrogen storage or something that would be more, that just, it's a very nice complementary access, right? Because you don't really decide when the wind blows. So if you can store that energy and make it locally in each house, you know, you really have done a great change, and you can do that anywhere, which is, you know, maybe for someone sitting in developed country doesn't really understand how important that is, but it's extremely important. So complementing the production of green, non-dependent on third-party energy like wind and solar with storage of energy is definitely going to be a groundbreaking partnership. Once you know, if you could just control all the developments of each phase so that it kind of, you know, but that's the timing of these technologies, obviously, is what gets you.
No, of course, and it's that difficult piece, isn't it, that we seem to, you know, catastrophe is happening and all around us, but it's almost when it's like the tsunami back in God knows what year it was over in Asia, you know, it was like, bam, that shocked everybody. And we all seem to react to shock rather than let's do it in a logical sense. Yeah. I mean, Wolfgang, I know that you spend a lot of time in Dubai, and I don't know if you saw in the news that forgive me for the inaccuracy, but they've developed something to help produce rain, essentially, over there. And you know, and so they're going, well, it's so hot. I mean, only in Dubai. I guess that would happen,
they,
right?
They do a lot of things in Dubai that you haven't seen before, and and they build mountains to kind of gather clouds to try to change the weather. Actually, they have airplanes dropping off God knows what in the skies to make it rain. So that's artificial made, man made type of things that. Could possibly work, but I think the change needs to be done with a larger kind of entity, and I think we have a responsibility, everyone, to kind of change the way we live our lives, because that's basically what makes the most impact, not building a mountain of sand or dropping off some chemicals in the air, but actually looking into how we kind of use energy and how it's distributed and things like that, which also, as Daniel says, energy storage, I believe, is the big next big thing, because if you can store energy, then you can decide when to use the energy, and you're not so dependent on actually making that energy, which is kind of setting off this CO2 emissions and making a lot of problems for the environment. So there's a lot of things to look at, and as I said earlier, we are just trying to be a little piece of that puzzle and closing the gap a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Or indeed a major catalyst. It may be small, but it may be a major catalyst. And I think it's, you know, if you can then partner up to create the bigger solution, because I sense that, you know, we are in danger of sticking a plaster on things, so to speak, rather than changing the fundamentals, which is behaviour, attitude, lifestyle, you know. And I know the next generation are much more, well, few generations, they're much more savvy and aware, and, you know, even down to the companies they work for, you know, they go, well, what's your commitment to the environment? And if they're not committed or showing that, i.e. it's just marketing speak, they're not interested. They go, no, this is, I want to do good, be good, and live completely different to how my mum, dad, grandparents did, because I now know more than what they did. And maybe it's a knowledge piece. You mentioned earlier in a discussion about, you know, the people element, and that really shines through, and, you know, how kind of you've been focused on that, and certainly your background and dealing with anger management and seeing the raw side of life. Has taught you a lot about people. One assumes, obviously, that also links to yourself, because you can't learn about people without learning about yourself, in my view anyway. Are there sort of three things that you've learned that you could pass on to other entrepreneurs about making that switch from the corporate world to running a business? Because I feel like you came into your own when you did that. I mean, is there three things that you've learned about people yourself doing that?
Well, you learn a lot of things about yourself when you actually quit doing the safe and typical A4 type of thing, because that's kind of jumping in the deep end of the pool without floaters. But if I should kind of restrict myself to three things, I think it would be you need to commit to the task. You need to be committed to what you're doing. That's the primary thing. And you have to believe 100% in the product. Mm-hmm. And you need to trust the process. And that's kind of three elements that I think everyone that's kind of starting as an entrepreneur, you need to do these things to actually pull through. If you lack one of each, then you will start doubting either the product or yourself. Mm-hmm. And if you start doubting the process, then nothing will happen. So, but if you're looking kind of at the people view of things, you need to bring people that brings wind into your sails. That's basically mm-hmm. what you need to do. So if you bring a lot of wrong people, you're not moving anywhere. But if you bring the right people that actually bring some wind into your sails, then you will move forward and you will be successful.
I feel like there's a marketing strap line in there with that last sentence, Wolfgang. That's really nicely put. Bring people who bring wind to your sails. I mean, you know, it's even though you are, you know, kind of you're the vision, you're the mission, so to speak, everybody's there with a different part of it that makes it happen. But also, you know, look, you're going to have off days, and actually that's then when you look to the people who are going, come on Wolfgang, what's the matter, let's crack on. You need that as well, don't you? Because otherwise it's a lonely existence. And I think the trust bit, it's funny, you know, trust the process. Daniel's mentioned, you know, from an investor standpoint, they kind of, there's this almost slight impatience, you know, I want to see something. So you're kind of batting against the sort of the wind, which is, come on, crack on, we need to see something. But you've got to trust that process, which might take time. I mean, if you experience frustrations along the way, Wolfgang, we thought, oh my god, do I trust this process? And has it always been as not, you're not making it simple, but it sounds, you're very wise with it. Have you had those moments of doubt in your mind?
I think as a private entrepreneur, you have those thoughts all the time, and it's how you process the thoughts and how you kind of, If you're talking about everything that's going to happen, then you will have a problem. So you kind of need to address the problems before you open your mouth, or else you will get in a lot of trouble. but as I told my partner in Gym Dynamics, I will tell you what everything that's been happening regarding everything when we're finished. Because if I would told you now, you wouldn't have had any good night's sleep for the last couple of years.
I like that style.
It's an ongoing process, of course. But what you learn going down that road is kind of you need to trust the process and believe what you're doing. If not, there's no use doing anything.
And that sort of it's taking uncertainty and becoming friends with it, you know, because that's life, isn't it? You don't know what's around the corner, but if you let it dominate, that will then filter into your people, that will filter into your product, that will filter into everything. And then suddenly you go, well, do I believe in what I'm passionate about? And, you know, and that's the key component, the passion, right? It might take longer, it might mess up along the way, but if the passion is evident and you believe and you're hopeful, you'll get there, you know. So, no, it's great. And thank you for those three takeaways. I'm going to put both of you on the spot now, okay? So I'm going to start with Daniel. Give me one prediction, Daniel, when it comes to the energy sector. I hope you don't steal Wolfgang's here because this will be slightly awkward. Give me one prediction. We'll have a bit of an argument then. We'll have to just make one up.
Yeah. But give me a prediction. You have to add this after.
Yeah, you're just, oh, quick, I've got to think of another one. A prediction for when it comes to the energy sector over the next 5 years and a sort of a trend that you think might develop. Obviously you've mentioned the storage of energy, but and obviously that can be it, but is there anything you can think of and expand on?
Well, I think the interest in the market will grow significantly over the next 5 years because there's been these political deadlines of 2050, and now the COVID relief program came out and they set aside over 400 billion euros just in Europe alone for green and renewable energy sector. So there'll definitely be a lot more interest in this sector going forward. And I think if we're so lucky that the attention, instead of having, you know, Europe lower its warmth in half a degree over the next 100 years, that you focus a little bit more on, you know, you can see this problem in Germany with the water sweeping away people's homes, and there's 100 people died. And Wolfgang also mentioned in the continent of Africa, you have 100 people dying every day from indoor climate because they heat their houses up with coal inside without any ventilation. So, when, you know, hopefully over the next 5 years, the focus starts to where do we create the biggest impact versus just chasing corporations to being greedy big companies, right? So where can we actually make the biggest difference? And if we're so lucky that the world changes to, okay, let's focus on where we can make that big change instead of Paris agreements, I think there will be a massive, massive change over the next 5 years because you can't do a lot right now. You just need to create, you know, give more people power to the small entrepreneurs that actually have solutions and less on political scale, but just like innovative entrepreneurs do their thing and step out of the way, basically. And if you want to give them 400 billion euros to try and go ahead, I think that's a really good idea. Just don't make too much bureaucracy around it. Just give it to them and let them do their thing. Then the world will be a better place.
You know. Oh, it's that political element, isn't it? I mean, you know, it's that, it's power. It's that's the word. Yeah, that gets like, in
green
the way,
energy
really,
is green energy is very political motivated. So it is a little bit of a different industry than many others. Doing that, you know, playing the game the right way would create a big difference. It's one of the few industries where you actually do create instant, you can create instant value for people. And the generation C's and Y's are very focused on that. So I hope that will create a big momentum in the next 5 years. I'm sure of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Wolfgang, anything from a trend standpoint, anything that you, obviously you're at the coalface, so to speak, well, not literally, obviously, given what you do, but what is there a trend that you can see sort of occurring over the next sort of 5 years or so?
Well, as Daniel says, a lot of these things are kind of put into motion by governments and political kind of thoughts around it. And I think we will see more incentives from the governments regarding changing from traditional type of energy use to renewable energy use, and I think that will actually make a lot of difference as well, making it kind of affordable for people to start producing their own energy. So destructive energy production, I think, will be a trend that is coming. And are kind of growing. People putting solar panels on the roofs. People putting type of quantum dynamics turbines on the roofs as well. Hopefully, but I think that will be a trend, and also kind of bringing energy to areas where there's no energy today. Not for kind of the energy use itself, but you can get type of information and education, and everything kind of connects with the possibility of internet connection and everything. So it has a big impact and could be like life-changing experience for people that are not connected to the grid today. There's a lot of things happening, and it's hard to say specifically, but I think for the next 5 years, you will see a big change in the way we use energy as well, and people actually kind of being more thoughtful about their energy usage, because you know the impact of where the energy is coming from and what is needed to be done to get that energy. But definitely also energy storage, as Daniel says, has a lot to do with this. So it's going to be an interesting journey.
It is, and I think, you know, sitting here in my house, that's, you know, I can heat up and you turn the heating off and cook and whatnot. You know, I put my hands up and say I'm ignorant in the sense of, you know, I see energy usage and shoot me now, I go, oh God, that's an expense. You know, I want it, but it's an expense. You know, I've got no knowledge. And I say no knowledge. I've got knowledge of my providers, but not to the extent that I should. And I think, honestly, you know, if you go back to school education, you know, when we're learning about, I don't know what they teach now in science, but, you know, it should be a core component. You know, and it's probably under that banner of your duty to the environment as a small individual. And as you grow up, what that looks like and what you can do. You know, we're just taught, you know, listen in English and maths because you want to go and work in the city in finance. I mean, you know, then it all starts going wrong, doesn't it, when you end up there? But it's, I'm ignorant, you know, and I fear my son's 5, you know, that's not featuring for him. You know, he's not going to have that awareness. And so I think that, you know, if you can, as Daniel mentioned, you've got these entrepreneurs, let them get on with it, increase this awareness, let them illustrate that solutions can happen and actually there's autonomy with at an individual level. It's political, it'll always be political, but actually we're going to empower you at an individual level and actually it'll be better for you in a multitude of ways, whether it be cost, efficiency, you know, giving back. It ticks a number of boxes. I think that's a strong solution. Thank you both for those trends. We'll call you on those over the next 5 years, see whether they come true. Final question, Wolfgang, and we ask everybody the same question because it always kicks up some great answers. Is there one thing that you wish you'd have known 10 years ago that you now know?
There's so many things.
Just one.
Well, you don't have to please everybody. That's kind of a big one. And I think you need to get older to really appreciate, understand that question. Because growing up and kind of establishing yourself in society, you have tend to try to please everyone. And when you get a little bit grayer in the hair, and a little bit older, you kind of understand that you have to kind of do your own thing, and stay true to that, and not try to please everybody else, because that will get you kind of nowhere. Not everybody that smiles necessarily wants to be your friend, so choose wisely.
I'll put, you know, monotone face. No, you're totally right in that respect, Wolfgang. You know, I think we run around pleasing, and I guess particularly when you're establishing a company, you know, you want to get that constant positive feedback. And let's be blunt, you know, you want to get that sort of acknowledgement and you know, sort of tick box and everything. But of course, there's a lot of sheep dressed in wolves' clothing, as us Brits say. And you know, you kind of go, do you know what? Doesn't matter. It's another day tomorrow. So it's a great, great piece of advice. And I really, really appreciate your time. That, folks, is the end of today's episode. So thank you, Wolfgang and Daniel, for your time today. I've really learned a lot, and that's always a good thing. And, you know, and actually spurred me on to go, actually, I need to go back, educate myself, because it's, you know, look, it's small incremental steps, isn't it? You know, it's not necessarily, you know, big overnight thing. So thank you both for your time. I hope you've enjoyed today, Wolfgang, Daniel.
Yes,
I always do.
Pleased to hear. Yeah.
Good. It wasn't too scary. Well, look, thank you again. And listeners, thank you once again for tuning in. And please remember to rate, review, and subscribe. And we'll catch you next time. Thank you.